This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Saturday morning. Hello, everyone. Live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Tim Murray as we continue to get ready for the start of the football season. 7 preseason games today. And yes, we are 14 days away from the start of the college football season. Also, plenty of important baseball games in store for us. And a guy by the name of Scotty Scheffler decided to shoot a 61 yesterday. So he is sitting in pretty good shape down in Memphis at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Fired up to be with you guys on a Saturday morning. Next 3 hours, lots of football preparations, not only for today's 7 games, but looking ahead, of course, to the start of the season as we inch ever so close to that beautiful start of the NFL and college football season. You can always tweet me. I'm at one Tim Murray. You could tweet the network at VSiN Live. Preseason action last night, preseason action today. So we got a lot to get to. We don't like to waste time here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. So let's get to it. Let's set the scene.
Let's dive into the biggest games of the day.
And like I said, ladies and gentlemen, we got ourselves 7 preseason games today. Some will have some starters, some, maybe not. But we will dive into those games, take a look at the line moves as we see throughout the morning. And let's jump in to the games right away. We've got 3 games starting at 1 p.m. Eastern time. A brand new stadium up there in Western New York as Highmark Stadium opens its doors. The Buffalo Bills taking on the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Buffalo Bills, we'll call them a 3-point favorite. There is a 3.5 out there, but mostly threes on the board. And Joe Brady, new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, is going to put some of the notable names out there today for those Buffalo faithful.
I don't think any like 1 year is the same. And there's a lot of the factors that go into it, right? Sometimes there's, you know, there's injuries that play in, you know, there's bodies, but I think we get an opportunity to go into the stadium and I want the guys, hey, how do we respond from the red blue practice, you know, us going through it and getting that pregame routine and going out there. And look, I want to see guys get hits. I want to see guys tackle. I want to see the finishing of the play and the how and all of this. So there's so many variables with it. We obviously have a new everything, right? And so it's our first opportunity for us to come together and you show an example of what the Buffalo Bills, you know, are about. And so I think that that's important.
Live total, or the total, I should say, at Circa is 38.5. There's a 39.5, but we'll call it 38.5 here for this contest. 1 o'clock kickoff there, Buffalo and Carolina. The expectation is to see starters for the Buffalo Bills. Dave Canales and the Panthers expect to have their starters out there as well, as we did see the Carolina Panthers in action last week, of course, in the Hall of Fame game. No Haynes King, though, dealing with that injury. The hero of the Hall of Fame game, he is out for this Panthers and Bills game. So that is the first of 2 contests in that 1 o'clock Eastern window. The other game, I would say, that is most notable is Cleveland taking on Chicago, because we do have a true quarterback competition. Another first-year head coach, that would be Todd Monken and the Cleveland Browns, right now 3-point favorites against the Chicago Browns. Excuse me, against the Chicago Bears. And what should we expect to see from that quarterback competition? Deshaun Watson and Shador Sanders, Todd Monken.
We're going to see both of them. I mean, one's going to start this week, okay, and one's going to start next week, right? And we're going to play somewhere I'd like to see a quarterback play a half and get a 2-minute. We're going to do everything we can to try and get a 2-minute, right? Simulate that for the half, and we're going to try to do the exact same thing the next week.
Why one for Chicago and the other for Chicago? I mean, which one?
You have to pick. I got to pick somebody. Yeah. So I have my reasons. I have my reasons of how it's going to go, and it's still a competition. We're still excited to watch guys practice today, let alone, you know, on Saturday and then next week against Buffalo. And we'll get a chance to see them both. And then every week we'll assess it. It'll be a little bit more difficult with the player that doesn't play as much this week or the other quarterbacks, right? We'll be able to assess you know, in terms of the quarterback that started, how he played, and when the other guys came in and played, and then the opposite will be next week against Buffalo.
We will see Deshaun Watson first, as that was Todd Monken there, and then Shedeur Sanders will take over most likely early on in the third quarter. We'll get a little more breakdown of this game and what to expect from Jeff Phelps from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland later on in the program. But Cleveland is one of the big line moves we've seen so far in this week one of the preseason. So the Cleveland Browns up to a 3-point favorite here at Circa and most other sports books. There are a couple 3.5s starting to show out there. And this is one of the few true quarterback competitions for the starting job in the NFL this preseason. And with that, that's why you're seeing the line move go to where it is. Caleb Williams not expected to play today, or he won't play today. Tyson Badgett will be your starter for the Chicago Bears. So Cleveland, I think, will be of interest to a lot of folks when it comes to a betting standpoint. However, so far in week one, the dogs have been barking. We'll get to what unfolded last night in action of week one of the preseason. The other 1 o'clock Eastern game is the Giants taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Minnesota Vikings, right around a 2.5-point favorite against the New York Giants. Kyler Murray, of course, earlier in the week was announced the starting quarterback. Not a big surprise. I think the timing might have been a little bit more surprising than anything, but Kyler Murray being the starter, not really all that surprising. As for John Harbaugh making his debut as the Giants head coach, very wishy-washy on what we're going to see from their starters today.
So here's the thing. If I talk about one guy and say, well, how much he's going to play, then what's the next follow-up question going to be? It's going to be the next guy. Then the next guy. Then the next guy. So I plan on not talking about who's going to play. That's what I plan on doing. I just decided just to leave it out there. You'll see when the game comes. It'll make the speculation so much more fun, you know, if you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Thank you, John Harbaugh. Much appreciated to the clarification there on what we will see today from the New York Giants starters. Jackson Dart, I guess we'll have to call him a game-time decision. That's what I saw ESPN say about that as well. But the Giants right now, a short home underdog against the Minnesota Vikings, who are expected to play both of their quarterbacks, Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy. You will not see Justin Jefferson, though, today. Vikings and Giants, one of the three games in that early window. Of the other four games today, you've got Jacksonville visiting New Orleans. New Orleans right now around a 2.5-point favorite. We will see most of the starters in these games for the Jags and the Saints. Spencer Rattler will get a lot of opportunities in this game for the New Orleans Saints, last year's starter to begin the season. The Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs, you're not going to see, no surprise here, Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to see Matthew Stafford either. You will, in this game, see a little bit of Ty Simpson, but Stetson Bennett will be the starter. The Chiefs will go with Justin Fields. So Kansas City, a 2.5-point favorite in that contest against the Los Angeles Rams. We get the Philadelphia Eagles and the Baltimore Ravens. Philadelphia up to around a 3.5-point favorite. You will not see many big names in this one. No Jalen Hurts, no Lamar Jackson, no Saquon Barkley, no Derrick Henry tonight at M&T Bank Stadium for the Baltimore Ravens against the Philadelphia Eagles. And then lastly, 8 o'clock Eastern, you get the Seattle Seahawks against the Dallas Cowboys. This one right now, Seattle, anywhere from a 2.5 to 3-point favorite against the Dallas Cowboys. Let's hear from Brian Schottenheimer on the expectation of their first-round picks, including Caleb Downs, as well as a battle for the number 2 spot at quarterback, whether it be Joe Milton or Sam Howell.
We're still working through the rotations, who's going to play. I think at some point they'll both play a little bit of football. But we're working through that now and, you know, get through today's practice and have a few more, you know, meetings to finalize it. But I would expect you'll probably see both of them play a little bit.
How would you assess where you are with your backup quarterbacks? Because I'm assuming you want to get that settled at some point this summer.
Yeah, I think it's been a very highly competitive contest. I think, you know, Joe's, you know, talent and ability to throw the football and athleticism jumps off the practice field when you see it. I think Sam's doing a great job of moving the team. But at the end of the day, the preseason games, they're going to play really the entire preseason, and that's where the bulk of the evaluation will be. But I would say it's a very good back and forth.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about a lot on VSiN Primetime throughout this week, and Matt Newman's has a column up over at VSiN.com as well, looking at the depth charts, looking at, yes, not only quarterback competitions like the one we have in Cleveland, but also the backup quarterback competitions. We saw this front and center on Thursday when you looked at the Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, Drew Aller situation there in Pittsburgh vying for the number two spot. So keep that in mind with the Dallas Cowboys there as three-point underdogs. The first-round picks that Brian Schottenheimer alluding to, Caleb Downs, the 11th overall pick, the stud out of Ohio State, and then Malachi Lawrence as well in the back end of the first round. So those pieces you will see from the Dallas Cowboys. We'll dive into the NFC East as the show goes on, and we will talk to Warren Sharp in hour number two as well. Looking forward to talking to Warren this later on this morning. And it is a busy baseball day, too. We will dive into that with Mike Palm in hour number two. The game tonight, Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz Kid, has the Brewers as a road favorite at Chavez Ravine. Don't see the Los Angeles Dodgers as home dogs all that often. And as mentioned, Scotty Scheffler's 61 yesterday has him right now as a minus 205 favorite down in Memphis. So, busy day ahead. You can smell it. We're getting closer to the start of the football season. And speaking of that, we had some preseason action yesterday. We, of course, had plenty of baseball action on a Friday night. About last night, we'll hit that for you next right here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Happy Saturday. We keep it rolling here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. Coming up in 15 minutes, our good friend Brett Ciancia, the creator of the Pick Six Previews magazine, will jump on the program yet again. We'll talk some season win totals with him, why he has Oregon as his number one team. We are 2 weeks away from the start of the college football season. Later on this hour, with us being 14 days away from the start of college football, how about I hit you with my 14 top quarterbacks, in my opinion, heading into the year. By the way, over at VSiN.com, part of the VSiN College Football Betting Preview, Paul Stone ranks his top 15 quarterbacks heading into this upcoming season. I've been deeming it all throughout the offseason the year of the quarterback in college football. Cannot wait to see these quarterbacks hit the field. So many talented quarterbacks this upcoming season. So it is going to be at least on paper, should be an incredible season. And that's why I think the Heisman Trophy race is so fascinating this year. So can't wait for that. Brett Ciancia coming up in just a little bit. Hour number two, we will check in with Mike Palm, get his favorite MLB plays on this Saturday, as well as Warren Sharp. He will join us in hour number two as well. So a lot to get to today, getting you ready for a busy day of preseason action. But before we go all the way forward, we must take a step back and take a look at what unfolded last night. By the way, dogs have been barking so far in the preseason. And I was texting with our buddy Chuck Esposito over at Stations Casino, as he will be joining us throughout the season like he has before, as we go behind the counter with him during the college football year. And I asked him Thursday, knowing that they are a local shop. For those of you unaware, Stations is part of is a local sportsbook here in Nevada. And I said, Raiders don't cover, actually lose the game outright on Thursday night, and six underdogs all cover. He said, it was a very good preseason. By the way, speaking of going behind the counter, Thomas Gable from the Borgata in Atlantic City, he will jump on the program. Curious to see what the action is like for tonight's Eagles-Ravens game, as they are not too far away from Philadelphia. So a lot to get into today, but as I mentioned, let's take a look back at what unfolded last night. Three preseason games. We saw the Washington Commanders as underdogs. The market moved against them because there was no Jaden Daniels, but Washington still able to get the victory over the Miami Dolphins. For me, I thought Malik Willis in his one series, he gets the big money contract to go down to Miami this offseason, follow his defensive coordinator from Green Bay and Jeff Hafley. I thought Malik Willis looked pretty sharp in his debut there with the Miami Dolphins. The big takeaway in this one is the injury, right? And you want to try to avoid those injuries as much as possible. And we know how much Washington dealt with the injury bug a year ago, and they're already dealing with it with Laremy Tunsil. Well, we'll find out more today, but Marcus Mariota left yesterday's game with a non-contact knee injury, and that certainly is very concerning for the Washington Commanders, who, as we know, you have Jaden Daniels, who was dealing with all those injuries a year ago, and now Marcus Mariota, who, once again, not saying that with Mariota you would be winning the NFC East, but a capable backup quarterback. And now, if that is a significant injury, which it certainly seems like it could be, does that mean that Sam Hartman, Ethan Kaliakmanis, or are you going elsewhere for a quarterback as a backup to Jaden Daniels? But Marcus Mariota leaving that 20-7 victory for the Washington Commanders with a non-contact injury. And as we have the betting graphic there for the Washington Commanders on the screen, I'm not going to say Marcus Mariota affects the win total one way or the other, but having that safety blanket potentially out for the foreseeable future, we might get some clarity today from Dan Quinn, the head coach of Washington, but certainly did not like what we saw there. And as I mentioned, Laremy Tunsil being out for a good chunk of time too, with that pec injury at left tackle for Washington. Not the start to the preseason that you would hope if you are Washington. But Washington, as an underdog, the market moved against them. And guess what? They still won and covered. And that was kind of the theme so far, at least of Thursday and Friday. Market moves, not necessarily coming home. Now, we did see a market move in Denver and Atlanta, ever so slight, and this one did come home. Denver closed as about a 3-point favorite on the road in Atlanta yesterday, and Atlanta was non-competitive in this contest as Denver wins it 27-7. I saw this nugget from from Evan Abrams. How about this? Sean Payton in the preseason, now 12-0 in the first half, dating back to 2020. So Evan Abrams pointing out that the Denver Broncos and the New Orleans Saints under Sean Payton since 2020 have now a 12-0 ATS first half stretch. They led 24-0 at halftime yesterday against the Atlanta Falcons. So impressive first half there. Keep that in mind moving forward. You know, we thought about all those times in Baltimore for John Harbaugh, the success that they had in the preseason, how great their record was. And now we have a new new trend to keep an eye on there for the preseason. 12-0 ATS in the first half. Sean Payton there for the Broncos and the Saints. The other contest, Tampa Bay, 24-16 win over the New York Jets yesterday. This was a pretty decent line move that, once again, did not come home. No Baker Mayfield for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but still the Tampa Bay Buccaneers able to get that victory in that contest, 24-16. So the market movement in that one did not come home. So three games yesterday in the NFL preseason, and we see two dogs cover one favorite. So far in week one of the preseason, underdogs 8-1 ATS, and unders, by the way, have been crushing as well. They are now, I believe, 8-1 to the under. The only over that hit was Tampa Bay and the Jets. That game does go over the total yesterday of 35.5. So we look ahead to today. We'll see if the trends do continue when it comes to the total as well as the underdogs covering. From Major League Baseball yesterday, we saw the Los Angeles Dodgers late night getting the victory as the Dodgers. This was a spot where Yamamoto took the hill as a pretty significant favorite against the Milwaukee Brewers, and they get the victory 3-1. Total does come under in that one. And really, I'll talk to Mike Palm about this, but we continue to see the Cubs inching closer and closer to the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers had that heroic comeback in the ninth inning on Thursday night to open up this series and to get that win over the Dodgers 4-2. But man, the Milwaukee Brewers, this road trip has been rough for them. They get swept by the San Diego Padres. They do come back on Thursday night to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers, but a 3-1 loss yesterday, and the Chicago Cubs early in the day get a 3-0 victory. A strong start there from Holmes and his second performance as a member of the Chicago Cubs, and I know that a lot of Chicago Cubs fans were thrilled to see a 6 2/3 scoreless performance from Clay Holmes, who they acquired from the New York Mets. So a 3-0 win, and right now the Chicago Cubs find themselves just three games back, and as you see on the odds board there, it continues to move as shrink a little bit more. Brewers lead in the division from an odd standpoint down to minus 260. Cubs sitting there at 2-1. Three games for the Chicago Cubs to make up in the division. And remember, those two teams still play seven games against each other in late August and into September. So Chicago Cubs back at it today against the St. Louis Cardinals, and Jacob Mizorowski going to try to get a victory there for the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers are a slight favorite against the Los Angeles Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. One other note from Friday night, a highly anticipated WNBA showdown between the Indiana Fever and the Dallas Wings, and it goes to Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever, a 98-87 win. They cover the 7.5-point spread as well. 29-10 for Caitlin Clark last night as the Indiana Fever get the win, 98-87, and do cover that 7.5-point spread. So a nice win there and a highly anticipated one, a big fourth quarter for the Fever to come back and get the victory and get the cover as well. So Caitlin Clark in that contest, she finished up with 29 points and 10 assists. Paige Beckers in the losing effort had 29 points, 6 boards, and 6 assists. Coming up in just 5 minutes, we're going to check in with Brett Ciancia of Pick 6 Previews. We're going to take a look at a win total that he likes, as well as why he has Oregon as his number one team entering the 2026 college football season. But just a reminder, folks, if you want to get a little bit more NFL or college football in your life, both our betting guides are out right now, and you could check those out for as little as $9.99. In addition to that, you get our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, and full access to everything over at vsin.com. So our intro offer, just $9.99, vsin.com/subscribe, vsin.com/subscribe. 14 days until the start of the college football season. Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 Previews, joins us next.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
We've been counting down the days, it feels like, all summer long to the start of the college football season, and now we are 14 days away from week zero. A nice little appetizer, week zero. We got a couple of good games. We got Virginia, NC State. We've got TCU, North Carolina. The game that we are certainly very intrigued by, Hawaii taking on Stanford. And in case you missed it, me and Matt Eumanns will be headed back out to Hawaii. I know the game is at Stanford, but we're going to be doing some preview work out there in Hawaii in just a little over a week. So, excited to do that. But speaking of previewing things, we have been joined by our good friend at the Pick 6 Previews magazine. Here is this beauty. You could get it right now, pick6previews.com. It is Brett Ciancia. Brett Ciancia, who may or may not have been on Paul Feinbaum's show earlier this week. You know, you saved the best for last, Brett, and you join us here courtesy of our progressive guest line. But I want to jump right into this here because we had Matt Eumanns on the podcast earlier this week, and he has Notre Dame as his number one team and Oregon at number two. You have Oregon at number one in Pick Six previews. At the end of the day and all your research this offseason and the coaches you talked to, what led you to having the Oregon Ducks as your number one team heading into this year?
Yeah, well, first off, Tim, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's been a good week, a busy season here, the magazine season for Pick Six Previews. But, yeah, we're getting close to kickoff. I can't wait. Yeah, the research for Oregon, it really started last year in the 2025 magazine. I was going through position by position, every team like I do, for all 68 Power Four teams. And when I got to Oregon, I could not believe the amount of talent that they have stockpiled up there in Eugene. You know, Dan Lanning has really elevated the recruiting profile there, stacking three straight top five recruiting classes from the high school ranks, and then a pair of top five transfer hauls on top of that. They're the only team in America to have that feat in the talent acquisition game. So unbelievable talent. But like I said, 2025, I was looking at it really young, a lot of freshmen, sophomores, first-time starters. So actually in last year's book, I wrote in there that I'm picking Oregon not in 25, but next year, 12 months from now in 2026. And fast forward to now, I'm sticking with the pick. They really showed me a lot last year on the field. Top five on my opponent-adjusted numbers on offense and on defense. Really a perfect stat profile when you watch them play. Dante Moore returned from a first-round draft grade. He could have gone pro. He comes back at quarterback there. The running backs are loaded. The receivers are back healthy. And then it's this defense that stood out to me, because when you think of the old Oregon, you think of the flashy offense, maybe the gadgety offense, the speed, but they now have it in the trenches too. They've really beefed up their lines of scrimmage. The entire starting defensive line made my all Big Ten team. So it's such a loaded roster here. I'm sticking with last year's future call of Oregon in 2026. And I think they're going to make a run to the national title. Would be the fourth straight Big Ten champ, fourth different Big Ten champ.
Yeah, we'll get to a prop that is out there courtesy of Chris Andrews over at the South Point. Will it be a Big Ten champ, an SEC champ, or the field? So three options there. But Brett Ciancia rolling with Oregon, the Ducks, as his 2026 champion. You can follow Brett on Twitter at Pick Six Previews, and you can get his preview magazine at picksixpreviews.com. So you're going to be writing a column for those Pick Six Plus subscribers that you have later this week, taking a look at some win totals that you like, and you're going to give one away right now. So let's head to the SEC. Win total 7.5 for the Tennessee Volunteers. Unique situation with Faizon Brandon looking like he will be the starting quarterback. Are you optimistic or pessimistic on the Tennessee Volunteers this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with Pick Six Plus, we do the annual win totals article, and I'm going to give this one away. I'm really high on this one. I like Tennessee to go over the 7.5 line right now. It's checking in around -120, so it's not overly juiced at all. Good value there. And yeah, let's break it down. When you look at Tennessee last year, it was a Josh Heupel offense, the usual 40 points per game. But now they return eight starters off of that unit. You know, four offensive linemen, two really strong receivers there, and their opening receiver spot, they add a five-star in TK Keys coming in. So love the offensive firepower. Their workhorse running back is back. And if you're the biggest question is the quarterback spot. It's a question in terms of uncertainty who the starter will be, but I like both options. You've got George McIntyre, a 6'6" guy, a former top 200 recruit, pocket passer, going up against Faizon Brandon, the dual threat. He was actually the top-rated quarterback in the whole country this year. So I know that Josh Heupel has two good players to pick from. And remember, last offseason, he got Joey Aguilar up to speed with only a month of fall camp. No winter, no spring. He got him up to speed right away. So I like this offense a lot. I know what I'm signing up for on that side of the ball. You look defense, though, this is where it becomes a complete bet here, because they hired arguably the best defensive mind in football in Jim Knowles coming down from, you know, he built defenses at Duke, at Oklahoma State, at Ohio State for a national title. He comes in with that complex 4-2-5 scheme, brings some starters and some staff with him to take over a really talented defense. So I see a complete team. You have the Heupel offense. You have the Jim Knowles defense. And then a schedule where if you're trying to look for eight wins here, I see it. I think they're going to be favored in eight games at least. And then probably couple coin flip games there to go over, even get to 9 wins, even potentially a playoff run. I've got him 15th in the whole country right now. So I like this Tennessee bet a lot. That's what I'm going to give away here for the Pick 6 Plus subscribers. But that's where I've got. I've got over 7.5 Tennessee.
All right. Brett Ciancia likes the over on the Vols this year. I'll tell you what, that week 4 showdown against Texas, keep your eye on that one. I know a lot of people will just assume that the Longhorns will take care of business. That game in Knoxville could be a tricky one there for the Longhorns, and that goes with over 7.5 there for Brett, by the way, minus $1.15 for those who have access to Circa Sports. You can get a minus $1.15 on the Tennessee Volunteers. At Pick 6 Previews is where you can find Brett on Twitter. Brett, one of the big things that you like to do is just, it seems simplistic, is looking at recruiting rankings, talent, stockpiling the talent, I guess would be a better way to look at it. So the Big 12 is a conference that you and I have talked about on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. You have Texas Tech at number 8, and then the next Big 12 team is BYU coming in at 17. Utah would be the next after that at 22. How big is the difference in your eyes of talent from Texas Tech to BYU and Utah heading in to 2026?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to see these two teams play last year. I went down to a game at Lubbock. It was the Texas Tech BYU College Game Day game, and I was just blown away by the amount of talent that Texas Tech had last year, and they reloaded for this year as well. And you look at it, there's two numbers to consider. First, if you're looking at the transfer market, that's a huge part of the game now, looking at four-star transfer additions. Texas Tech had 20 the last 2 years combined. The average Big 12 team signed 2. So you got 20-2 in the transfer game. And then if you're looking at the early NFL watch list, I know we're early for that, but East-West Shrine Bowl puts out a 1,000-player list, and it's pretty comprehensive. It's a good indicator. Texas Tech has the most NFL prospects in the country with 27. The next closest is TCU with 12, so 27-12 in the pro game as well. So, you know, that's not the end-all, be-all, but those are two indicators that this gap is giant in this conference. So I like Texas Tech to win it again. They actually dodged both those co-favorites there with BYU and Utah. So manageable schedule. Their four hardest conference games are all in Lubbock as well. So I love this schedule for them, but it's a really talented team. You can go position by position and argue that they're the best in the conference, maybe outside of quarterback, though Will Hammond, he did show us a lot last year coming in during that Utah fourth quarter, leading four scoring drives to win that game. So I like Texas Tech a lot. BYU and Utah, you love their physicality, their lines of scrimmage. You know what you're signing up for with those two. And then my wild card's TCU. I have them fourth. And I don't think you're going to find any other magazine out there with TCU in their top 25. I think they recruit really well. They've got a nice receiver room. Pass rush looks elite. And it's a good coach with Sonny Dykes. So I like TCU as a dark horse, which leads us into week 0. I like them a lot. I'm getting a touchdown, minus 7.5 against UNC. It really a broken offense, broken team last year. So I like TCU there over in the Ireland kickoff and as a dark horse in the Big 12. But to answer your question, it is really Texas Tech's conference until proven otherwise. I was shocked to see the Big 12 coaches. They voted at media days. They picked BYU. Maybe a little off-the-field politicking going on there, because I think Texas Tech is hands down clearly the best roster in the conference.
Yeah, I think there might have been a little bit more into that than just pure on talent evaluation there by the coaches. Brett, we only got about 60 seconds left. Heisman, we could talk about this for days, but a couple people you're keeping an eye on for the Heisman this year.
Yeah, well, keep in mind that the preseason favorite hasn't won the award the last 12 years. So that's bad news for an Arch Manning or maybe a CJ Carr better. I like to go a little bit down the list. I find some value here at 13-1, Trinidad Chambliss from Ole Miss. Guy put up 4,000 yards last year, razzled and dazzled in the playoff against Georgia. We all saw it. He's back a second year. And then I like Darian Mensah checking in 10-1. Guy transferring over from Duke to Miami. He's got all those pieces around him at Miami. Malachi Toney, 5 stars galore on their offense. So very, very strong vertical passer too. Look for a vertical passing attack from Miami. So Mensah, Trinidad Chambliss, and then I'll give you a roulette chip down there at 60-1. I like Demond Williams and the SMU quarterback. So there's a lot of choices there, but I like, you know, Trinidad Chambliss and Darian Mensah towards the top.
Brett, great stuff, man. Once again, Pick 6 Previews. Make sure you check it out. I got my copy. It is my one of my Bibles throughout the offseason. Brett, always appreciate it, man. Congrats on another great preview magazine, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
There he is, Brett Ciancia. Once again, Tennessee over 7.5, a best bet for him on a season win total. Speaking of the Heisman Trophy and some quarterbacks. We'll dive into my top 14 quarterbacks next.
VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Keep it rolling here on a Saturday morning. And just a reminder, folks, as you know, football season is almost here and the sharp money is already moving. Here's how the sharp plays see it first. Exclusive data feeds from four major sports books. Thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0. of their AI model. That's the machine. Now the receipts, every play logged, every result public. Records back to 2011, live logs since 2021. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the sharp money at sharpplays.com. We've got seven preseason games today in the NFL. We're going to revisit those games. Who's in, who's out, line moves. Here's some sound from the coaches coming up top of the hour. So a busy day ahead for us in the NFL as we have seen the dogs really barking so far in the preseason. Yesterday, 2-1 for the dogs against the spread. But back to Thursday, dogs and unders were the way to go. So we will talk more about the preseason coming up top of the hour. And Warren Sharp scheduled to join us in about 45 minutes. We'll take a look at some of his favorite season-long plays coming up here in 45 minutes. Baseball today, of course, busy day ahead. The Cubs are as hot as team in any in Major League Baseball. The Brewers, a loss last night. They get Miz on the hill tonight. We'll take a look at Mike Palm's favorite plays for the baseball slate in less than 30 minutes when he joins us in studio. But always great to have our buddy Brett Ciancia on the show. Once again, Pick Six Previews. You can follow him there on social media in case you missed it. Tennessee over 7.5, a best bet for Brett. And right here at Circa, minus $1.15 on Tennessee. We'll get to a win total that Matt Youmans likes and gave out on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast here in just a little bit. But at the end there with Brett, we talked about the Heisman Trophy. And I know it's an award that, honestly, you should probably wait. I have a couple roulette chips in the back pocket, and we've talked about them here on the show, of Lincoln Kienholz of Louisville and Devin Dampier of Utah, which, because I have to, I am legally obligated to bet Devin Dampier. He is my guy, so I have to bet him to win the Heisman Trophy. So bet Kienholz at 110-1 here at Circa, Devin Dampier 90-1. I think you can get a better number now on Devin Dampier. So a couple of roulette chips, but I have not bet any of the top dogs. Now, you could make an argument, we could talk about them, that maybe you look at an Arch Manning, you look at a Trinidad Chambliss with some higher profile games early on in the season, a Julian Sayin, that you should look to bet them sooner rather than later. But what about a CJ Carr, a Darian Mensah? When those two teams in Miami and Notre Dame don't play each other until November 7th, do you need to bet them now, or do you wait and see how the season plays out? But as you head into the year, and over at VSiN.com, if you have the VSiN College Football Preview Magazine, Paul Stone rated his top 15 quarterbacks. And I think a lot of the names you're going to see in that top 15, you would have as well. The one omission I have from his top 15 is a little bit more bullish on a guy like Bear Bachmeier. I do not have him in my top 14 as we head into the home stretch here. So 14 days away, my 14 top quarterbacks. And you just heard one mentioned there from Brett Ciancia, Trinidad Chambliss. I have him as my number one quarterback coming back into the year. And maybe it's based off of what we saw in the playoff, his incredible performances leading Ole Miss to the semifinals, but he's a dual threat quarterback. And I want you to know, I'm not saying he's the best pro prospect in college football, but for me, coming back this year, I've got Trinidad Chambliss at number one. Then notable names. I've got Arch Manning at two, CJ Carr at three, and Darian Mensah at four. I want to talk more about Miami later on in the show because I've said it all along. I believe there are seven teams that can win the national championship, and I think you know those seven. Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, three teams from the Big Ten. Georgia, Texas, two teams from the SEC, Notre Dame, Miami. I believe those seven are the one of those teams will be hoisting the championship trophy here in Vegas in late January. And I think Miami might be just a little bit overlooked right now because you lose Carson Beck, you lose Reuben Bain, you lose Akeem Mezidor, you lose a lot of pieces on the offensive line. Maui Noah, one of their stud offensive linemen, goes in the top 10. But bringing in Darian Mensah, I do think will, at the end of the day, be an upgrade at quarterback. And Malachi Toney, the expectation is he's just going to continue to get better. So I put Darian Mensah at number 4, ahead of a Dante Moore, ahead of a Julian Sain. And then I went back, I did this exercise over the summer, and I had an omission. I did not have Gunnar Stockton in my top 12. I have since added him at number 7. I am very high on Georgia this year. I don't know if I'm bullish on them to win the national title, even though I do think they're capable of it. I think they win the SEC. I think they go over their 9.5 wins. And I think Gunnar Stockton, another quarterback that is really being overlooked right now in that 20-1 range to win the Heisman Trophy. So that is my top 7. And then you get into 8 through 14, and this is where things get a little bit more loose, if you will. So number 8 for me is Devin Dampier. Once again, legally obligated to put Devin Dampier in here. If you know me, you know my infatuation with the Utah signal caller, dual threat stud. Now, if you want to poke holes in it, why didn't Michigan take him to Utah? My belief is that Bryce Underwood was probably told that Kyle Whittingham was going to have to roll with Bryce Underwood. So Devin Dampier at 8. Sam Levitt, I've got some questions. Is he healthy heading into this year? You do have Lane Kiffin. You do have Charlie Weiss Jr., so he might end up being better than number 9, but I'll have him at number 9 heading into this year. Josh Hoover, this is where it gets interesting. Last year I did a top 12, and you could just crumple it up and throw it out because Fernando Mendoza was not in my top 12 last year. So no matter what I think of Josh Hoover, and he's got some questions when you think about the turnovers that he had at TCU, Kirk Cignetti went out and got Josh Hoover. That's good enough for me to have him in my top 10. I'm not going to make that mistake again. Number 11, Jaden Maiava of USC, Damon Williams of Washington, Byron Brown. Man, am I excited to see what Byron Brown can bring to the SEC. Coming in from USF, along with his coach, Alex Golish. And then number 14, this is a guy that probably some people had at number top 5 a year ago, Lenora Sellers of South Carolina. So those are my top 14 quarterbacks heading into the year. You know, it's funny. It's the year of the quarterback. I continue to say it. And you think about a quarterback 2 years ago and the buzz on him. You just heard Brett Ciancia give out over 7.5 wins on Tennessee. Their quarterback this year will be a true freshman in Faison Brandon, more than likely. 2 years ago, it was Nico Iamaleava. Nico, still playing. Starting quarterback for the UCLA Bruins, who bring an infusion of talent and bring in a new head coach in Bob Chesney. Bob Chesney of James Madison led them to the college football playoff a year ago. Matt Eumanns, earlier this week on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, gave us a reason why he is optimistic on the UCLA Bruins in year one of the Chesney era.
Look, I love the Bob Chesney hire at UCLA. I thought that was just a really, really smart hire by the Bruins. And this team was, you know, left for dead by a lot of people early last season. And then the coaching change happened, and the Bruins ripped off a few wins and stunned a lot of people. There's still talent in this program. I think that, you know, this new coaching staff could turn Nico into a competent quarterback. He's got the physical ability. And really what did it for me, this is my most recent bet, is UCLA over. Now, you can play UCLA over 5.5 and lay 170, or you can play over 6.5 at plus 110. I did a little bit of both, but I bet more over 6.5 at plus 110. And the reason is, when you look at this schedule, Tim, if the Bruins beat Cal in that opener, you're going to love where you stand in this win total with UCLA. Yeah. Because look at the schedule the rest of the way. It's Bob Chesney. Looks like he scripted the schedule. They got a bunch. Bruins have a bunch of home games they can win at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. I plan to go to the first two home games that UCLA has against San Diego State and Purdue. And I think the Bruins get off to a hot start and probably go 7-5, something like that. But I definitely think this is at least a 6-6 team. She can play over 5.5. You can play over 6.5, but the schedule sets up really well. And I think this new coaching staff led by Chesney is going to have the Bruins taking a big leap this season.
Week one, late night game, 10:30 Eastern in Berkeley. You've got Jaron Chiave-Sangapulateli, who certainly you can make a case for him to be a top 14 quarterback coming back this year against UCLA. The shortest spread in week one is UCLA at Cal. It is not a robust week one of close games, at least from a point spread standpoint. The shortest spread we have, UCLA and Cal. And as Matt mentioned, UCLA wins that game right now as a slight dog at a handful of books, then you're looking pretty there with a win total of 6.5 at plus money to the over. We've got 7 preseason games today in the NFL. Who's in, who's out, line moves. We'll get you updated.